I have not been known to avoid the danger of overkill, particularly in the things of God. When you're sending divine light, into hard heads, a little overkill is necessary. And when those hard heads are surrounded by the sludge of principalities and powers, world rulers of this darkness, and hosts of spiritual evil, you really need a little overkill. A good howitzer for a snail is what I'm implying. I have pointed out already, gave you doc note 48, that when Paul in Philippians 4:18, and don't put the camera on this and they'll tell you to, director, in Philippians 4:18, he spoke of the offering brought to him by Epaphroditus, which offering so moved Paul that it produced the entire Philippian letter. Now, you that have been listening to the teaching on Philippians, what would you have missed if that letter hadn't been written? And it would not have been written if the Philippians had not sent this material offering to the Apostle Paul, which he clearly said he didn't need. But he called it, in 4:18, the things which were sent from you. Now you can put a camera on this. Give me a shot. The things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell. A sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. As I've already pointed out in Doc Note 48, the Greek New Testament has these words being translated in the King James. Osmin, an odor. Euodius, of sweet smell. Thusion, a sacrifice. Doc Note 48 took you to a different passage. Tonight I want you to turn to Leviticus 1:17. Leviticus 1, the entire chapter deals with the burnt offering. And I've taught you many times that when God begins to speak, he speaks of that which is most precious to him first. And then, come to me. Then he moves out to the things that we need the most. We need a trespass offering and a sin offering. The trespass offering covered the sins you know about. The kinds of things you go confess to a priest. You're aware you did it. I robbed, I lied, I cheated. But as you move closer to God, you find that, as I so often say, you are a sinner, not because you sin, but rather, you sin because you're a sinner. And existential state of alienation from God. A bent, as Reinhold Niebuhr has it, to put the self on the throne where only God can dwell. And as you get closer to God, that condition of sin begins to weigh upon you. And then God provided the sin offering, which dealt with the sins of ignorance, covered the things you didn't even know about, the condition of sin. Then on up through the other offerings as we move toward God. To the burnt offering. Now, as we practice the offerings, you practice bringing the sin and trespass offering first, and then you move up to the burnt offering in your initial contacts with God. But when God talks, he starts where he is. So the first offering he talks about in the laws of the offerings in this book of Leviticus, chapter 1, is the burnt offering, the most precious to him. And as you continue to read the chapters, his revelation will flow from him outward toward our need, and the last thing he talks about is the sin and trespass offering. So we're talking about that, in short, which is most precious to God, the burnt offering. The last verse reads, 17th verse of that chapter, the last phrase, it is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. I've quoted it here on this dog note. Leviticus 1:17, that last phrase, it is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. The Septuagint version, translated by Jewish scholars in Egypt a century before Christ, had become the Bible of the Jews of Palestine, and subsequently became the Bible, before the New Testament was canonized, of the Christians. So much so that the Jews reacted by producing another Orthodox Hebrew text, because in their view, the Septuagint version had become contaminated by becoming the Bible of use for the Christians, for Christ, the apostles. So the Septuagint version is the version of the Bible that Paul would quote, come to me. We just read our Bible of use, didn't we? The King James. But we know when we're reading the Philippian letter that the original text was in Greek. So I just gave you the words. An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice. Likewise, when Paul was writing, he would quote the Old Testament of use, the Septuagint, which he did. The Septuagint version reads, Leviticus 1:17, Thucia, Osni, Euodius, To, Kurio. Now let's link it up with the Greek as I did in the dot note 48, where we were looking at Leviticus 23:18. In the mouth of two witnesses, the thing is confirmed. Thuzia, a sacrifice. The Greek text of Philippians 4:18, Thuzion, a sacrifice. The Septuagint version, back to my pencil, an odor. Osmi. Of sweet savor in the Septuagint, Euodius. Back to the Greek text of Philippians 4:18, Euodius, of sweet smell. And I say in this doc note, because I'm just giving you evidence again, where my pencil is, I rest my case. Paul quoted the Septuagint exactly. To the curious, the Hebrew translated to Greek with the Septuagint scholars reads, "Aroma of pleasant to Yahweh." But that's not what Paul was quoting. He wasn't quoting the Hebrew text. He was quoting the exact words of the Septuagint. But the Septuagint, as you can see, used the Greek words to translate an odor, osmi, aroma of sweet savor, euodius, pleasant, unto the Lord, to Yahweh. What am I trying to come? What's the point? Well, the smart one's already got it. The highest form of offering, most desired by God, about which he talks first, thus closest to his heart, when the law of the offerings unfolds in Leviticus, the burnt offering, same phrase is used, bringing pleasure to God, that Paul, the interpreter of the Old Testament and the New Testament frame, applies to the material gift of an offering brought by Epaphroditus to the one who taught them the word. You're sneering at God. There's nobody in the sound of my voice that will ever be the same again. You are accountable. As we have struggled this whole month to find another 300 people who have not been sending an aroma of pleasure to God, to start it by giving $33 in this whole month, a little over a dollar a day. It isn't me you're bucking against. It's God and His Word. If you want Doc Note 49, here it is, and it's yours for the asking. You can put it in your notebook right behind the other one. You now have two illustrations of Paul's choice of words to describe a material offering to the teacher of the word. Get on the phone. Now I want to explain again. On this same subject, I offered Doc Note 48. Those who do not have it can also get Doc Note 48 tonight. But you can't make an accumulative request. You can't say, I want both Doc Note 48 and 49. It's just the way we process these things here. We need a separate write-up for each Doc Note. So if you want Doc Note 48 as well as 49, tonight I taught on 49, but the subject is the same. It's just a different illustration of the consistent use in the Septuagint of the Greek phrase. So tonight I'm offering Doc Note 49. Nobody had that until tonight. But if you've already ordered Doc Note 48, you don't need to do that again, but you should only order Doc Note 49. Those who don't have Doc Note 48 and want to get both 48 and 49, since they are companion notes, you have to make two separate calls to get them. Is that clear? If you call and try to order two in the same call, you will only get 49. Is that clear? Go on telephone. I am compelled in my spirit to keep hammering on this subject. As the entire audience that I've taught is brought by the words from God's Word, which, as the New Testament says, will bring either life or death, same words. Life to some, death to others. Because once the light's turned on, you're never the same. You say, well, this is the law. Well, let me show you something about the burnt offering, the most precious offering. I mean, I don't know what your state of mind is, but the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. We're just temporary squatters or leaseholders. Nothing in between. Rebellious squatters or leaseholders. And as leaseholders, delinquent and under the curse because we know what we're doing, or responsible, joyous participants with God in His plan. Now you say, well, this is the law. Chapter 1. The whole chapter deals with the burnt offering of Leviticus. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Here's the key line I want you to notice. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. The burnt offering was never a part of law. All the law did was put it in perspective in the order of revelation as being the most precious. The sin offering was obligatory. Without it, you're dead. That spoke of our need and our distance from God, our alienated, sinful and sinning condition. But the burnt offering was always there. Long before the law was ordered on Mount Sinai, and even incorporated into the law, the most precious of the offerings, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will. You think the Macedonians were coerced into giving the offering to Paul? He said to the Corinthians, all they had to hear, and he used these Macedonians to demonstrate to the plutocrats in the spirit, proud and self-centered, the Corinthian church. He used these Macedonians as the example of how the Holy Spirit works when it's a genuine indwelling. These Macedonians begged with much begging that they might participate. They weren't whipped into doing it. And he went on in his teaching to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, to say God loves the hilarious giver. That isn't a coerced act. It's not law I'm teaching. That's why it was an odor of sweet smell, bringing pleasure to God. They brought it voluntarily. Well, the last time I checked on a young bullock, when we put some on High Point, they were between $400 and $600. I'm just asking you to be voluntary and given $33 to testify that we can break this impasse, that we can move forward, that there are 3,300 people among this vast audience of king's houses, those that have already been taught, that haven't yet become a king's house, that will say, I'll join you in this victory. Sometimes you think the Old Testament is all law and no promise. Try this on for size. Ninth verse. Proverbs 3. That's pretty Old Testament, isn't it? Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The reason some of you are always in trouble is your impulse givers, you're scatteramic. You don't honor the Lord with your substance. You don't seize every... If Philippians were listening with me, they'd be on the phone begging with much begging that they could be one of these 3,300. You really think we can exist with 3,300 people giving $33? I expect those that give regularly to give their regular amount plus 33. But we need 300 that didn't give last month to step forward and say, I'll be one of the 3,300 and give 33 to join with us in this testimony of faith. We're not talking about law. We're talking about voluntarily identifying with Yahweh, the Lord of glory, in recognition of the worth of His Word and what He has done and is doing for us. Now, come on, get on the telephone. You see, the world will accept in their tolerant superiority. Even the governments of the world will accept teaching on Christianity as long as it doesn't involve money or involve you in giving. And most of the church world is so terrorized of the frame of reference that the world, the governments, and the media have been able to project and transferring giving into the same category of fundraising of charities and profit and loss margins of business until they have made it a vile, unclean, and non-spiritual thing. And in order to get the world's approval, the church has been intimidated into silence on this subject. Well, let me tell you why the devil, who rules the world, wants that frame of reference. Because you cannot please God without being a giver. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 makes it clear. God gave His Son gave His life. And the genuine proof of God's Spirit in you is the way you give, and God loves the hilarious giver. How many times have I said, you try to find any other place that God says that? He didn't say He loved tongue talkers. He told them to shut up. If they can't interpret, shut up. Or do it in your private prayer life. He didn't say, God loves the hilarious glossolalia talker. He didn't say, God loves those who knock people down and blow them down and pray for the sick. He didn't say, God loves the hard worker for Jesus. He didn't even say God loves the hilarious prayer. Because, you know, prayer doesn't really do that much for God. Most of it is trying to get something out of him. He does make it clear he likes praise, but he never said he loved the hilarious praiser. God loves the hilarious giver. And you prove the genuineness of God's Spirit in you by the way you give. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the devil wins so subtly. If he can shut off the teaching and shut off the hearing and shut off the responding to the message of giving, he shuts off Christianity. Once you've heard this truth, to not be a giver, and today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Anyone who heard this teaching tonight and doesn't respond, I told you how the preferred way to identify in faith, and there isn't anybody who can't have the faith, find $33 by the end of the month. You can do a yard sale and get that. They're a bunch of junk. In fact, at yard sales, some of you that have had them, people almost fight over the things. Anybody who's heard this teaching tonight and doesn't respond by giving, I'm sorry, you are not a Christian. You don't have the Spirit of Christ. Well, I want to be. Well, who doesn't that has any sense? But you ain't. You can't save yourself. Only God's Spirit can save you. And when His Spirit's in you, it's the same Spirit of God who gave His Son and His Son who gave His life. You're a giver. Voluntarily. Old things have passed away. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have the Spirit of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is a giving mind. He offered himself. You need to offer a burnt offering, which Paul clearly made to mean in Philippians 4:18, an offering to the one who teaches you God's word. You better get on telephone.